But Jesus said, "You will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth." Amen. Please be seated. Let's sing our first hymn, "Lord, for the Years."
Thank you.
very warm welcome to you this morning, for those who are here in person and for those who are joining us online via the YouTube live stream. Now, if you're new to Scots, please introduce yourself using the cards near your seat. You can leave that at the foyer desk, or you can use the QR code to give us your details online. And join us for some refreshments and a chat over at the mezzanine level at the Westpac building after today's service. You're also invited to stay on for lunch to find out the latest news from our mission partners, Lauren Rater and Adam and Helene Ramsey. Finally, a quick practical note. On Sundays, there's free parking over at the Westpac building. You can enter via the Little Collins Street entrance. But there's a little bit of confusion. We can only park in the public or the Westpac parking spots on Sundays. Spots that are marked as Scots are set aside for staff, and bays marked for other companies are private rentals who use them on Sundays as well. So have a look out for the public spots and bring your ticket to be validated at the door. Thanks. Now let's sing Worship the Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son, Jesus, because the whole creation was made through him, by him, and for him. But we thank you because Jesus did not count equality with you a thing to be grasped. He counted himself nothing, taking on human flesh and becoming obedient, even death on the cross. And now he has been exalted above the heavens, so that at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow, every tongue from every peoples, tribes, and nations will confess that he is Lord. We ask that this morning we would be reminded of your gospel, that you would open our hearts and our minds to the wonderful news of your Son Jesus. Remind us again that through your Son, the dividing wall between Jews and Gentiles have been torn down. There is no longer Jew or Gentile, slave or free, male and female, but we are united in your Son Jesus. May you fill us with joy this morning, because we are united to him and to one another. Teach us to do nothing from selfish ambition, but in humility to count others more significant than ourselves, because that's what Jesus did. And hear us as we pray the prayer that Jesus taught his disciples. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory, for ever and ever. Amen. Kids and teens can now go to Kids Church with Grace and Buonica, who are in the back. Our next hymn is our offering hymn. Let's sing, Lord, You Sometimes Speak in Wonders.
Please be seated. Let us join our hearts and minds in prayer. Let us pray. Our most gracious Heavenly Father, you are holy and perfect, full of grace and truth. We praise and give you thanks for this gathering place and your Spirit that gathers us today, each and every single day. God of wind and fire, on this Pentecost Sunday, we celebrate the indwelling of your Holy Spirit, which you sent to the apostles on the day of Pentecost and to those who believe in the power of the life, death, and resurrection of your Son, Jesus. We thank you for the birth of your church through the power of the Holy Spirit, who empowers your church and us to make your Son Jesus known throughout the world. Loving God, give us insight, wisdom, and courage to show your love to others, and help us live in a way that honors you and reflects your character. We pray for your church on earth, including the Scots Church and its constituents. Loving God, breathe on them once again. May your church be given the strength to stand firm in good times and hard times through the power of your Holy Spirit. And help them and us to choose to remain in the faith, to stand with Jesus. And may your church be a place where people can find strength in one another through hope, faith, prayer, and fellowship for your glory, honor, and praise. Open our hearts and minds as we listen to your word today. Bless Phil Campbell with wisdom and clarity as he preaches, and help us to be seeds of hope, drawing more people to you, our living hope. We give you thanks for our four mission partners, of whom Scots Church supports. Today, as we gather for the mission lunch after church service, we pray for Lauren Wright's mission in Spain and the Ramses in Japan. We ask for renewed energy for Lauren, and we pray a welcoming church for her to attend and a smooth visa approval. We also pray for her to remain steadfast in her faith and to engage in meaningful conversations with her fellow language students and new friends. We also pray for Adam and Helene Ramsey as they teach and prepare local Japanese people to share the message of Jesus. We pray for Adam as he prepares for the new teaching program at the church. Lord God, we give you thanks for Adam's ability to preach in Japanese, and we pray for his continued faithfulness in language learning and preparation. We also pray for Helene as she teaches children each week and Japanese women about the Bible and trains them to teach children. And we pray for the Ramses children to settle in their new school and be engaged in their church family. We pray for that our church community will continue to pray and support the work of our mission partners, and that you will take the seeds that they are planting and bring them to fruition you desire. Please open the hearts of the people they serve to your truth, and we pray that you would keep them safe so they can continue in their ministry, and may the people give generously to their work for your glory. Loving God, we pray for all individuals undergoing suffering, for the unwell in our church community and their families, for the seniors in aged care facilities, and for those who are currently ailing in hospitals or recuperating at home. May each day be filled with your presence, strength, hope, and healing. We pray for Grace Banks as she mourns the passing of her dad, Stuart Banks. We pray particularly during her father's private cremation on Friday, the 24th of May. May she find strength, comfort, and peace in you during this challenging time. And now, Almighty God, we thank you for the abundant blessings bestowed upon us, and bless our tithes and offerings, and help us to have generous hearts, whether with money, labor, time, or talents. And we ask for these things from the one who meets all our needs, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
This morning's first Bible reading comes from Acts chapter 10. You can follow along in the order of service. Cornelius, a Roman centurion, had a vision telling him to send men to Peter, to bring him from Joppa to Caesarea. The next day, as they were on their journey and approaching the city, Peter went up on the housetop about the sixth hour to pray. He became hungry and wanted something to eat. And while they were preparing it, he fell into a trance and saw the heavens opened and something like a great sheet descending, being let down by its four corners upon the earth. And in it were all kinds of animals and reptiles and birds of the air. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "By no means, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." And the voice came to him again a second time, "What God has made clean, you must not call common." This happened three times, and the thing was taken up at once to heaven. Now, while Peter was inwardly perplexed as to what the vision that he had seen might mean, behold, the men who were sent by Cornelius, having made an inquiry for Simon's house, stood at the gate and called out to ask where Simon, who was called Peter, was lodging there. And while Peter was pondering the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Behold, three men are looking for you. Rise and go down and accompany them without hesitation, for I have sent them." And Peter went down to the men and said, "I am the one you are looking for. What is the reason for your coming?" And he said, "Cornelius, a centurion, an upright and God-fearing man, who is well spoken of by the whole Jewish nation, was directed by a holy angel to send for you to come to his house and to hear what you have to say." So he invited them in to be his guests. The next day he rose and went away with them, and some of the brothers from Joppa accompanied him. Amen.
The second reading continues from verse 28 in Acts chapter 10. When they arrived, Peter found many people gathered, and he said to them, "You yourselves know how unlawful it is for a Jew to associate with or to visit anyone of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any person common or unclean. Truly, I understand that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, anyone who fears him and does what is right is acceptable to him. As for the word that he sent to Israel, preaching good news of peace through Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. You yourselves know what happened throughout all Judea, beginning from Galilee after the baptism that John proclaimed, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all that he did, both in the country of the Jews and in Jerusalem. They put him to death by hanging him on a tree. But God raised him on the third day and made him to appear, not to all the people, but to us who had been chosen by God as witnesses, who ate and drank with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach to the people and to testify that he is the one appointed by God to be judge of the living and the dead. To him, all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. While Peter was still saying these things, the Holy Spirit fell on all who heard the word. And the believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed, because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles. Amen, and thanks be to God.
Thank you, Jeanette. Please join me in prayer. Lord, our Heavenly Father, as we turn to your word this morning, we pray that your Spirit would enliven our minds and our hearts. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. You might have heard it said, we are what we eat. You might have even said it to your kids. Too many cream cakes, too much processed food. Two of our daughters were in our family chat group the other night. One said, there's an article in the New York Times today about how bad it is to eat processed foods. She said, it's terrible. Daughter number two responds. She says, but the problem with whole foods is they're so expensive and they take so long to prepare. And they don't have all the sugar and salt I'm so addicted to. And then she posted this picture you might be able to see in front of me with the comment, pink donut icing is so delicious. Well, we are what we eat. More than that, though, on holidays, Lou and I noticed that while one of the delights of Vietnam is the fantastic food, there's another side of the food markets that we hardly dared look at, with all kinds of local delicacies that had no appeal at all. Things we just wouldn't dream of eating that just aren't part of our typical Western diet, processed or otherwise. Freshly boiled baby ducklings still in their eggshells, perhaps. Of course, it cuts the other way too, and there's stuff we Westerners eat that turns up the noses of the other two-thirds of the world the same way. Food divides us. All the more so when it comes to religious food rules that go a step beyond that. Jewish Old Testament food rules in the book of Leviticus, like no pork products, no shellfish, only eat seafood with scales. With not just a yuck factor involved, but a degree of religious recoil that says, surely you wouldn't eat that. Because in Old Testament terms, it is unclean. And to avoid it marks you out as being kosher and therefore somehow, in your own mind at least, safely superior and separate from other people. Now, if you've been with us here at Scott's for a while, you might remember we worked through the first section of the book of Acts last year, and we got as far as chapter 9. If you missed it, you can find the audio podcasts online and videos on YouTube. It's the story of how the first church is taking shape as the apostles preach with complete conviction the resurrection of Jesus. The thing we can overlook, though, is that so far, everything, everyone, has been safely Jewish. This is a time when Israel is under Roman possession. The Roman governor calls the shots. The Jewish priests and local political groups, they're doing their best to stay on the right side of Roman power, but determined at the same time to stay clean, especially when it comes to their particular food rules and their regulations, their Sabbath day laws. Caesarea is the Roman seaport on the coast, just north of what we call these days the Gaza Strip, purpose-built as a Roman military base. Cornelius, local Roman commander, lives there. The Roman governor, just up the road. But what a weird dynamic. Rome with all the power, and yet the local Jewish community not even prepared to touch a Gentile Roman without sanitizing their hands afterwards. Not even prepared to eat with you. Because here's the thing. If you were Jewish, you knew from the cradle that there were two kinds of people in the world. You and the Gentiles. You and everybody else. You and the kind of people who make you turn up your nose and go, ick, that's disgusting. Because you see, in a unique way, are the people of God, and they're not. But here's the thing. For the church to become the church, that's got to change. For the church to become international, inclusive, incorporative, somehow that's got to be overturned. Now, we got a hint of that back in chapter 9, where Saul, after his turnaround on the road, was told that he is going to be an apostle to the Gentiles. But at this point, nobody really gets that. Nobody sees the implications. Now that is about to change. And it starts right here with Peter as the chief apostle and then unfolds through to chapter 15 in the next few weeks in our series, Jesus for Gentiles, and then explodes in the mission trips of the apostle Paul in the final section of the book, which of course leads us then all the way to us here in Melbourne today. And it all starts with two midday dreams. First of all, Cornelius, the Roman centurion, an angel in a vision, saying, God has seen the way you care for the poor, so there is something he wants you to hear. Send a Joppa, have your men bring back Simon Peter to your place, which is what's happening at the start of our first reading. And then a second vision at the other end of the road in Joppa that we saw in chapter 10, verse 9. It's the next day and Peter is praying on the roof of Simon the Tanner's beach house in Joppa, and it's lunchtime and he's famished. While they're getting lunch ready downstairs, Peter falls into a trance and suddenly the heavens open up above him and there's a picnic rug being lowered from the sky, sagging under the load of a squirming mass of potential meat products. Except it's straight out of a nightmare episode of I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here. Because we're told in verse 10, it's got all kinds of animals and reptiles and birds of the air, including the kind any good Jew recoils at. It is a disgusting smorgasbord of pigs and shellfish and all kinds of hopping things specified in the book of Leviticus as squarely in the no-go zone for a clean living, clean eating Israelite. Here's the nightmare bit in verse 13. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." You see, this is breaking all the rules of yuck, not to mention the rules of clean. And so Peter says in his vision in verse 14, "Surely not, by no means, no way. I'm a good Jewish boy." Now, he somehow knows it's the Lord speaking. But clearly, you see, at this point, the Lord has got things badly wrong. How can you tell me to do that? And the voice speaks to him a second time. "What God has made clean, you must not call unclean." With the emphasis on the words God and you. Who do you think you are to call anything impure that God has made clean? Now again, at this point, the vision is all about food. But what it's really about is the bigger issue of people, which takes Peter a little while to figure out. Verse 16, in fact, says the whole thing happens three times for dummies before the sheet's taken back into heaven. And then Peter wakes up and it's lunchtime for real. Now, just spare a thought. As a mark of how confusing this is for Peter, you might notice in the reading in verses 17 and 19 and 20, I've put the words inwardly perplexed and pondering and hesitation in bold print. Because in the original Greek, they all share the same Greek prefix. He is diaporeo, greatly puzzled. He is diaroteo, greatly questioning. He is dienthumio, greatly thinking. He is diakrinomai, greatly hesitant. See, greatly, greatly, great. Boy, oh boy, this is blowing his mind, the poor guy. Which is when the knock comes on the door downstairs. The Spirit nudges him again, verse 19. Direct instruction from Jesus. "Simon, three men are looking for you. Rise up, go downstairs, and accompany them without hesitation. Because I've sent them." Get it? They are unclean men. But no more diakrinomai, no more hesitation. Peter goes to the door. "Why have you come?" They say, "We've come from Cornelius, the centurion," verse 22. "He's a righteous and God-fearing man who's respected by all the Jewish people. He's okay." See, it's interesting. Through the chapter, if you read it carefully, we're told five times what a decent bloke this Cornelius is. He's devout. He might be a Roman, but he already respects Jewish ways. He even prays to Israel's God. He even gives generously to the Jewish poor. Might be a centurion, but he is an upright and God-fearing man who's well spoken of by the whole Jewish nation. In other words, an easy first step for the hurdle Peter is about to jump in no longer calling unclean what God is calling clean. So Peter invites the travellers in to be his guests. Now, if you want to, you can actually let off the fireworks and throw the streamers at this point, because when you see the word house, there in verse 22. And Cornelius asks Peter to come into his house. The word house there again in verse 23, Peter inviting the Gentiles into his house. See, that right there is the breakthrough. That right there is Peter saying, I get it, I get it. That the old clean, unclean boundary rules no longer apply. I'm going to open my house and share a table and share my food with the kind of people I once in my mind, not half an hour ago, thought were unclean and excluded. Now they're my guests. And so you can see a few verses later, the start of our second reading, when Peter arrives at Caesarea, at the house of the Italian Cornelius, and he goes in without even a second thought. There's a group there already. Cornelius has invited his friends, and Peter says this, look at his words. You're very well aware, verse 28, that it's against our law for a Jew like me to associate with a Gentile or visit him. Right now, he says, I am breaking our law, but God has shown me that I shouldn't call any man impure or unclean. That's why I came. Now, you get that? God has shown me that I shouldn't rule anyone out, that I shouldn't put up any boundary between me and anyone on the basis of their ethnic origin, or even their footy team, or their politics, or the school they went to. Because following Jesus, here's what he'll go on to say, is for anyone. You don't have to be Jewish first. You don't have to follow all those Jewish laws first. You don't have to clean yourself up first to be acceptable to Jesus and to his church. But let's slow down, take it a step at a time. Peter says, why did you send for me? Cornelius tells the story of the angel and says, we want to listen to you, to everything the Lord has commanded you to tell us. Which brings us then to the essence of Peter's gospel message and the real opening of the doors of the first international church, which we're part of here this morning. Now again, it is interesting to reflect. We've been told already that Cornelius is a good living guy. But apparently that's not quite the point, because there is still something he needs to hear. Back in Acts chapter 9, when we met Saul, Saul wasn't a good living guy at all. Yes, he's Jewish, but he's in the middle of actively and violently persecuting Christians. Now, with this gentle and generous Gentile, the opposite in both ways to Saul, it seems that God's gone to extraordinary lengths to have Cornelius hear the message that's about to be delivered, because he needs to. Verse 34, Peter starts talking. I now realize how true it is, he says, that God doesn't show favoritism. At last I get it. Jesus is not just for us Jews, because God is going to accept people from every nation who turn to Jesus Christ, which is exactly what Peter calls on them to do. Verse 36, this is the message that God sent to Israel, preaching the good news of peace through Jesus Christ, his Lord of all. Now again, get that, peace through Jesus, Lord of all, not just Lord of Israel. And then he tells how Jesus had travelled around healing, doing good through Judea, how he was pushing back the kingdom of the devil, how they killed him and God raised him back to life, how he's been appointed by God as the one who's going to judge the living and the dead, rightful king of everyone. Which leads to the punchline of Peter's sermon, both then and for now. And you can see it's the same point again, verse 43. To him all the prophets bear witness that everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins through his name. Do you get it? What you used to be isn't the point. Moral or immoral, persecutor or philanthropist, where you've come from is not the point. What matters is who you've come to. And when you come to Jesus, you are welcome. You receive the one thing that matters most of all, the forgiveness of sins through his name, so that your wrongs are no longer listed on your account. They are cancelled. Peter says that's true for everyone who believes. God makes you clean on his account. Jewish persecutor like Saul, honourable Gentile like Cornelius, still counted unclean by the Jews, but when he turns to Jesus, not unclean at all. And you see, neither are you. No matter what's on your record, no matter what's on your conscience. So, don't you call anything impure that God's calling clean, including yourself. No matter what you've been through that's made you feel otherwise, if you have believed on Jesus, forgiven, clean. Cornelius the Gentile, clean. His whole Gentile household, clean. So let me ask you, if you're counted clean because you've come to Jesus, and if that other person over there is counted clean because they've come to Jesus, what's to divide over? Cornelius and his household believe, and it's like Pentecost all over again. As the same Spirit that came on the first Jewish believers so visibly now comes on these Gentiles so visibly as well, so there is no possible mistake. It's really happening right in front of Peter's eyes, Gentiles receiving the Spirit. And more important, I think, right in front of the eyes of the Jewish Christians who have come with him from Jerusalem as well, verse 45. And the believers from among the circumcised who had come with Peter were amazed because the gift of the Holy Spirit was poured out even on the Gentiles. This, you see, is astonishing. At least it's astonishing for first century Jewish Christian eyes, and it's going to take them quite a while to catch on, as we'll see in the next few chapters. You and I take it for granted. It's routine. But see, the Gentiles we're reading about here, that's us. Every time I walk past the bagel place on Johnson Street on our Sunday morning walk, I'm reminded, because the bacon and egg bagels smell so fantastic. You can smell the bacon cooking right down the street. Now, you see, you can be a Christian and eat that, except for the calories, maybe, and the cholesterol. I reckon almost everyone here this morning, not Jewish, Gentile, and yet part of the church. Peter says, let's baptize them. God's accepted them. Why shouldn't we? And they do. The starting point of church for all the nations, Jesus for Gentiles like us. And friends, just in a subtle way, look around. I think we should be proud of the way Scots Church is so much more than just Scottish. Week by week, you can look around here any Sunday morning and see more and more brothers and sisters gathered from all over the world, all together. I might just take a moment to ask you, are you welcoming them? Welcoming one another? Because we've got an obligation, you see, to keep crossing those lines that so easily divide. Because all of us, we're the ones, as we read Acts chapter 10, we're the ones who are there on the outside with Cornelius until God says to Peter, don't you go calling anything unclean that I am calling clean. He's talking about people. People like us. Because nobody is beyond the scope of inclusion in God's church. Nobody is beyond the scope of believing on Jesus and receiving forgiveness of sins through his name. Which means nobody gets to say the words, what are you doing at my church? So maybe the people over one side on a Sunday morning have been part of Scott's for 50 years, and there are people on the other side who have been coming for 5 years. Maybe you've never even said hello. Let me declare today, Amnesty Day, after the service. Let's make today a day where, without being awkward, you get to go and find someone from the far side of the church, someone you've never really spoken to, and start something new, start a conversation. Come over to Westpac for a cuppa and keep chatting. Find someone not like you. Maybe even invite them to meet up for lunch through the week. Because now you see, it's not only okay to do that, it is a mark of who we are. Because what God has made clean, you must not call unclean. We've got to show what that looks like in practice. Please join me in prayer. Lord God, you are very gracious. And through the Lord Jesus, you call and forgive people from all nations. That you open the door to everyone. Father, we pray that you would open doors in our hearts that we might do the same. That you would indeed bind us together as a people who love one another. Because you have first accepted us. Help us to show that in practice more and more as we seek to reflect that in the life of our church. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to close our service with the hymn, Come Holy Ghost. Well, friends, thanks for being with us here this morning. Please do stay and join in for refreshments and lunch for the reasons I just mentioned, as well as the great opportunity to hear about the work of our mission partners. There will be plenty of food. Please do feel free to stay and join us. And now may grace, mercy and peace from God the Father, God the Son and God the Holy Spirit be with us all now and forevermore. Amen.